You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zgura, Matt Wilhelm, Jason Gibbs. Time now to go back to the Ohio Business Machines hotline and bring in the voice of the Cleveland Browns from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, Jim Donovan. Jim, how are you?
I am good, Nathan. Good to be with you.
Great to be with you. Just want to start the Cleveland Sports Awards. You won the Lifetime Achievement Award. Well deserved. Just kind of talk about your thoughts on that. And I thought the video that was put together was great. You gave a great speech, and it was just well deserved. And to me, it was the highlight of the whole night. So I hope that you enjoyed it as well. It was a pretty special moment.
Well, thanks for saying that. It was a great night, I have to tell you. It was really humbling, and it was just a terrific night. I mean, to share it with my wife and my daughter and all the people who have worked with me throughout the many years here, 31 years, it was nice to be recognized. I was very surprised when it happened, and they informed me of it, and the night was beyond expectations.
Well, in that video, one of the fun facts that I found out amongst many things about your life and career is that you were at Boston University with Howard Stern. Do you have any Howard Stern stories that you can share with us?
I was, yes, and that's true. I was with Howard Stern. I was a freshman. Howard was a senior, and I was with him, and I was on his Saturday night radio show on the campus radio station, which was WTBU. Now, the reason that I ended up with him was because I used to broadcast Boston University hockey games on the student station, and then I would have to bring the tapes back after the game, and I would bring them back to the dormitory where the studio was, and that's where Howard was doing his show. I think it was called the King Schmaltz Bagel Hour, and he would have me come on and do a Marv Albert imitation because there were so many kids and students from the New York area.
Sure.
And I would come out and do my my Marv Albert imitation.
That's really good.
Stern. And I had a great time with him. We had a lot of fun, and he was a terrific guy. And I would sit in the student lobby of the School of Public Communication because we both would have early morning classes and then go work at the radio station later on in the day. And he was a great guy. I got to know his first wife very well because she was at BU too.
Sure.
And I really enjoyed myself. I mean, I was
that's awesome.
I'm very, very honored to be with him.
That's fantastic. And that was, by the way, that's a darn good Marv Albert.
Thank you. And yes, it resonated. And when the New York kids would say, "Wow, that is really good," I knew that I had hit it on the right spot.
That's awesome.
Jim, a bit of news here in Cleveland, and just want your overall reaction on the statement yesterday by Sashi Brown about Johnny Manziel and in his status here in Cleveland moving forward.
Well, Matt, I'm going to tell you this, and I really mean this, and I think since the Browns lost their last game of the year on January 3rd against the Steelers, from the moment they walked off the field, I think they have been winning in a lot of things that they've been doing. In the coaching search, in the reorganization, in the direct line that they're taking to where they have to go. And I think yesterday just is another indication of just saying, hey, listen, enough is enough here. And I think the statement was strong. I think it was very assertive. And I think, and I said this on the news last night, it was both sad and it's very liberating. Because it's time to move on. And I think, I know we've all felt this, you know, as the incidents have mounted up. But it really is time to move on because we've been really kind of suffocated by this whole story and scenario by this one player. And not a lot of it has to do with football. Most of it has to do with outside of football. So once again, I think that the Browns did the right thing and are going to do the right thing. And I think that I don't want to say it was overdue, but I do believe it was due.
I agree. Talk with Jim Donovan. You guys obviously know that voice, the voice of the Cleveland Browns from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, talking with him now on the Ohio Business Machine sideline. And Jim, when it comes to Johnny, so it seems that, you know, has sailed. Do you think there's any way that this statement was put out so that if any team other than, say, Dallas was interested in Johnny, that maybe they would think of something, because with the way the waiver system set up, Dallas, if they want him, they're going to get him if he does make it to waivers.
Yeah, I think so. You know, I really do. I think that's right, Nate. And I think it's kind of putting it out there and saying, hey, listen, if anybody out there, like you said, besides Dallas, because it's been, you know, well speculated and rumored that the Cowboys and specifically Jerry Jones have a real tankering for Johnny Manziel. And I think, though, that you put it out there that, listen, if you're going to step to the plate here, and you may have to do it, if somebody feels that they can be the savior of this guy and make him a functioning professional football player at the quarterback position, you know, you're probably going to have to come and call us and try and make some kind of a deal. But I think, you know, on the other side, it was just, you know, it was a classy statement, strong, and kind of just saying, hey, this is the way it is. This is, we just can't tolerate this any longer. So it had a dual purpose. I think for all of us, it's saying, hey, listen, we're going to take our organization back to ourselves here and try and move on with it, with the kind of players that we really feel have to be here to win. And number two, on the business side, hey, listen, you know, if there's a market for them, you know our telephone number.
Jim, you talked about the coaching search, and we know Hugh Jackson, that was a big success. Now that the organization's been put together, I don't think we've had a chance to talk to you since they brought in Andrew Berry to be the vice president of player personnel, and then also as the staff has been fleshed out with a lot of guys who have held big titles in the NFL before. What do you think overall of that staff that's been put together under Hugh Jackson, and obviously now that the talent acquisition side of things has been locked down as well?
Well, you know, Nathan, I've always watched it, and we've watched it a lot here, when guys have gotten the head coaching job here, and they have struggled to get a staff put together. And it's through no fault of their own. It's just through the fact that they're new at it, and they're trying to get guys to commit to them. And really experienced guys probably aren't going to do that because they're probably in better situations, and they realize that going with a new rookie head coach is a very tenuous situation. You always worry about that, and that has been a concern that has crystallized here in Cleveland through the various coaches that have come here. But that's the other thing that was so good about Hugh Jackson, because of his good affiliations around the NFL and the fact that I think people feel that this was long overdue that he gets another crack to become a head coach, and it probably wasn't deserved, his fate in Oakland being only a one-year run there with an 8-8 team. That I think the good thing was that guy said, hey, listen, I want to be with him. So the fact that he was able to strike out there immediately and get a staff that he really liked, and I don't think he's taking, as we watch this staff put together, he's not taking a flyer on a lot of guys. As you said, these guys have been coaching in the NFL in big situations with a lot of responsibility, and that is a real big, big feather in the cap of Hugh Jackson to be able to get that kind of a staff put together. And that's always a concern. I think sometimes we, you know, fans don't look at it because we just get, you know, consumed by the guy at the top of the list. But I'm telling you, that staff becomes a very, very important thing. And sometimes coaches, it takes them 2 or 3 years to finally get the staff that they want in place.
Yeah, this is true. And Jim, just to jump back really quick on the Johnny Manziel topic, and it's, you know, something we discussed last night, yesterday. Is it going to take the ideal situation for Johnny Manziel, and obviously a lot of growth on and off the field for Johnny Manziel, to ever start another football game in the National Football League?
Yeah, I think so, Matt. I think that, I mean, I don't know if he's totally bottomed out. I mean, I really don't know, you know, where he is right now and what the true story of what's going on in his personal life. But his football life right now, I mean, that position requires so much trust from a team and a coach and a coordinator and a franchise to really put the trust into the quarterback position. That what's gone on, you know, and it hasn't been, you know, all A's on the field either for Johnny. I mean, there's growth there, but there needs to be a lot more growth, because there needs to be a lot more time spent off the field preparing and then on the field executing. I think that with everything that's gone on, it's going to take a long time for him to earn the trust of somebody. I mean, somebody may bring him on the roster, and I'm sure they will, but to give him the trust and hand your team over to that position, which is so important and so time-consuming and so work-consuming, you know, that's a real, you know, that's going to take a great leap of faith, I think, and an awful lot of time to heal a lot of the things that have happened, and, you know, and people have watched from the sidelines, and now you're going to give him, hand the keys of your organization over to him. That's really going to take some time, I think.
It certainly is. Jim, appreciate the time as always. Thank you for being with us. And again, congratulations on the Lifetime Achievement Award. Well deserved at the Cleveland Sports Awards.
Thanks, Nathan. Glad to. Thanks for the Howard Stern story. That's always a fun time to go back and remember.
Oh, just wait until we get on these planes. I'm going to pick your brain a lot more on this Howard Stern stuff. And I might request some Marv Albert Ewing. Great stuff.
You got it.
All right. Thanks, Jim. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll open up the phone lines, talk recruiting day, we'll talk Browns, we'll talk dip etiquette, whatever you want. Cleveland Browns Daily, 216-578-0850.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back, Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, Gibbs, get in here. How about that? I didn't know he was actually on Howard Stern's show.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I love the stories. And trust me, there are more.
I'm sure. I can't wait for these flights. I'm going to pick his brain.
WNBC.
We don't have too many long ones this year.
I just can't believe he wasn't in. I feel like he should have been in Private Parts.
Come on now.
Jim should have been. He was on. They chronicle that time while he's at BU for a while, and he was like on every day on the Bagel Schmaltz Hour.
It's great.
That's good.
That's unbelievable.
Was his hair still as miserable back then? I'm sure.
Oh, and he had a mustache.
Oh, creeper.
I love Stern. Do you not like Stern?
I like Stern. I don't listen anymore. But I mean, how do you not love Stern? I watched this. The show was the best. Radio's great, but watching it on TV
and that was on when we were in college, man.
That was the best.
Every night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you always, you can rewatch Stern episodes probably the same way that Nathan likes to rewatch Curb Your Enthusiasm
episodes. I do. I'm going through it again. My goodness, is it good. What?
So good.
I'm answering phones.
Go get the phones, Gibbs. 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. I think Howard Stern's the best interviewer of our time. Dan Patrick, number two. Those are my top two interviewers.
What I love about Howard Stern is when you're being interviewed or on his show, everything is in play. Everything. Okay. A, because it's serious, right? Or, was on his show. And it doesn't matter. I mean, he does his homework, and if he knows about you or any scenarios that you have been in, he will ask you about them. And ask you to explain, so it gets super awkward, and it's like almost a show of extremes.
It is, but he gets stuff out of people too as an interviewer that nobody gets out of them, and he's not like a shock jock anymore. I mean, certainly he'll get into certain topics, but his interviews I think are what sets him apart and what makes him the best. Let's go to Mike in Youngstown now. Mike, welcome to the show.
How you guys doing, guys?
Good. How are you?
Good. Hey, Matt, that was. Picking up that offensive tackle, just the people that Ohio State got to sign this year, that class is going to be unbelievable, I think. What do you think?
I think it's going to be good. I really do. I'm most encouraged, and I think it's oh so appropriate that with Joey Bosa going to the NFL, Nick Bosa's brother will wear 97 as well. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just going to be really cool to know that there's going to be a dominant Bosa at Ohio State for the next 3 years on top of what Joey Bosa's already done. So I think it's going to be a great class.
For sure. His mother said, when I told you we had met a bunch of them down there, me and my wife, and his mom said, quote, "If you think Joey's good, wait till you see Nick."
Is he he's supposed to be better?
Yeah. Well, wow. Yes, he is. Question for you guys. The quarterback pick, whichever one of the three it ends up being, has any of the people that are – let me rephrase that – then. They're taking the quarterback at number two. Obviously, we have to have a quarterback. So in the mock drafts, of course, they're going to put us in with whatever quarterback they think. But, and I don't know this. I listen a lot, but I don't know for sure. Has anybody said any of the three were going to be or could project out to be franchise quarterbacks?
Yeah, and the guy at Bleacher Report has Jared Goff as his number one player overall. I think Mel Kiper certainly has said it, and we played the clips on this show that he believes that he is, in fact, a franchise quarterback. So, Yes, that is. There are many people that think more, at least at this point, about Goff, although Wentz certainly seems to be a guy on the
list. Yeah, he's moving up the hill. Would you guys, either of you, if the Titans take the tackle and Bosa is there, would you consider taking Joey Bosa, or would you do you think that the Browns should trade to get another pick in the round and have the 32nd and still get one of the three quarterbacks, or you're just set on Goff?
I personally am not, I don't know if set on Goff is the way, but I believe he is a franchise quarterback, and I believe that the Browns are so in need of a franchise quarterback that he would be the pick at that point.
Right, and I think, you know, wholeheartedly, if Hugh and Sashi Brown and Paul DePodesta and, you know, come to terms on it's a quarterback or it's not,
right,
I think you have to consider Bosa, you know, because of our inability to play a high-level defense, and you add a guy for that at minimum of the next 4 years, could potentially become what J.J. Watt has become for Houston defensively. But to your point, Houston has J.J. Watt, and they're not in contention for the Super Bowl.
Nope, because they don't have a quarterback, and I think that it becomes more and more clear it is a quarterback league. Even Scotty Buckeye had to come out and say it's a quarterback league. We've got to get ourselves a quarterback, and I certainly would agree with him as it relates to that. I think that is just it's just like that, and that's the way it is, to quote one of the great songs of our generation. All right, 216-578-0850. It's also Mailbag Wednesday. You can tweet the show, 216-578-0850 to call. Tweet us at Browns_daily. We'll get into the mailbag. You know, it's interesting. The two teams that had a strong draft link to joining other than Dallas were the Rams and the Kansas City Chiefs, and Ed Werder was talking about that. And I wonder if either of those teams would like him enough to pony up, because I don't think it would be much. I really don't. I think there's a very good chance that they would be able to get, you know, if a conditional seventh, or if you basically made a statement you're cutting him, which I think if we interpret it, we have. You're not going to get a ton of value, but you have an opportunity to maybe get something for him, which is ultimately, at the end of the day, better than nothing.
Right, and he's going to make his money anyway.
Yeah, right.
So you're paying him whether he's in a Browns uniform or he's not, if you do, in fact, cut him. Or in your case, you trade him, you don't have to pay him, and you get something in return.
Yes.
Something.
Something. Anything.
Right.
Well, you know, a lot of teams look at it in the NFL. Let's say you get a conditional seventh, and it turns out to be a seventh. Well, in many drafts, you can trade a seventh for a future sixth. And then you could trade a future sixth for a future fifth. And then you could trade a future fifth for a future fourth. And so you could, in 7-8 years, that conditional seventh could end up being an early pick for you.
Hopefully. It's a lot to happen, though.
It's possible. It certainly is possible. We know with Sashi Brown, that's what he's going to be trying to do. Here's an interesting question for you from the Kevin Beard. Who would play CBD cast in a movie poker night? This is from Kevin Beard, and this is what he's thrown out there, which I think is hilarious for so many reasons.
Okay.
Matt, Zac Efron.
Okay.
Not bad. He's a little guy. The Big Z, he's got Justin Timberlake. Apparently he hasn't seen me.
Or me.
Or you. And Gibbs, you get Seth Rogen.
That's pretty close, right?
I like that. Yeah, the voice is there. By the way, I've been told that the Mythbusters, you know the show Mythbusters?
Yeah.
Have proven that double dipping is no worse than a single dip.
I've said nothing against double dipping.
You're fine with double dipping.
If I'm gonna eat it. Okay.
So you're fine.
I'm of the mentality.
I'm going to go back in and take another bite.
I'm of the mentality that food. Because we, you know, when you're around kids, you meet their parents and they're, and I'm not saying that we don't we sanitize. We're a clean family.
Germs are
right?
out there, man.
Germs are out there. When I was a kid, you roll around the mud, you eat some sand. I'm still alive. I made it to the NFL. I won a championship. That's all I'm saying.
They're married.
That double dipping ain't going to kill nobody, right? People are putting cigarettes in their mouth, you know, doing, you know.
And I won a championship.
Right. That's what?
You did.
Come on, man.
Come on.
You know,
man.
People are like, how much protein should I take? I don't know. I had fried bologna sandwiches growing up and some fish sticks. I wasn't looking at the box.
You like
nutrition
fish
facts
sticks?
Weren't around.
You like fish sticks?
Not anymore. I mean, what we ate.
With the tartar sauce?
Nah, I'm not
the
a
frozen
guy.
Frozen like, fish sticks?
Anything
oh,
with,
yeah, for sure.
Anything
oh, yeah,
with mayo right involved in it, I'm out.
No, I'm a no mayo guy too.
No mayo.
No mayo.
The worst condiment in the world.
Do you like coleslaw, Gibbs?
I do.
Oh, ugh.
Especially, I smoke like a pork butt.
Like
an almost pulled pork, and then you put the slaw on top, and then you smother it in barbecue sauce.
See, I don't mind a slaw because there are some slaws that are made without mayo.
Right.
Correct. Vinegar based.
Like
vinegar
based. The jicama slaw at Barrio?
Fine.
So good.
Sign me up. Fine. Mayo, I'm out.
I no sour cream. Ugh. I am a no ranch.
I'm surprised you're okay
mayo.
With cream cheese.
Huh?
I was surprised you're okay with cream cheese.
If it's in something, I'll eat it.
Yeah. But you're not just like putting
Why
it
is Barrio not a sponsor?
Not
of
on a bagel.
Yet,
I don't know. Barrio.
I'll eat a plain bagel before I put cream cheese on a bagel.
We want you.
We give them a lot of pub.
Barrio's the best. Barrio was in the building last week.
Was in the building.
What?
Yes.
Yeah, Friday.
I took a picture, sent it to my wife, and she's like, ugh.
So angry.
So we had to go to Barrio this weekend.
That was when the kid was coming in, and lunches hadn't been so good since the cafe's closed. There's really only one option now, which, I mean, it's the greatest setup ever. We're very lucky to get to eat lunch here, I think.
And heck yeah, Wilhelm and I ate like kings last week.
We did.
And the kid is like, the lunch hasn't been so good. Going to Chipotle. So he goes to Chipotle, and I text him immediately once I saw Barrio. I'm like, stop, Barrio's here. Too late. He's like, I'm basically playing Russian roulette, and I could have had Barrio. But by the way, did you guys hear that the CDC and the FDA have said that they believe Chipotle totally clean now? The threat is over.
I'd eat it.
I was eating it when it was in question because it was never in question. It's just dirty stores and dirty managers who don't clean.
Would you drink water in Flint?
No.
Okay.
But my Chipotle didn't close. None of the Chipotles that I visit were shut down at any point in time.
Right.
By the way, the sofritas, phenomenal.
At Chipotle?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's that new, it's like kind of Chipotle, but it's like vegan, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's good.
Highly recommended. Some good spices, good flavor.
Hold on. Nick Twining, I hope I'm saying it right, at Maddie's Papa, fine, proud father. He says, Barrio is listening. I keep trying to convince the bosses to sponsor on your show. Let's do it. We're in. They're probably saying, well, why are we going to sponsor a show in here? You know, why buy the cow when the milk is free as we continue to talk about Barrio? But we're in, Barrio. Let's go.
Bring up Taco Bell.
Or
Let's talk about Taco Bell
Or
more.
Some free willies. Free willies before a Cavs game.
Listen, you go through my credit card statement from my Amex, there is no establishment that shows up more often than Barrio.
Really?
I can't do it. I'm addicted. Jalapeno margarita.
We went to the one in Lakewood.
A couple bowls. I've only been downtown.
Yeah, we went to the one in Lakewood the other day.
And listen, they opened up in Seoul and Paco's Tacos, and everybody was excited about it. Paco's Tacos, no Barrio.
No.
Not even close.
By the way, what guy were we, our pool partner last night?
Mike?
No.
Kevin.
Zagura, you and I early on.
Kevin.
Basketball guy.
Oh, Kurt.
Kurt. What happened? His office is right across the street from Barrio, or right by Barrio. He goes, everybody in the office has put on 10 pounds.
I think if you go bowl, though, and you can keep it lean. And you get more
Who
bang for your buck.
Who wants to keep it lean, man?
I love a bowl at Chipotle.
I go bowls always at Barrio, unless they can talk me into the special taco. Now, if there is every now and then, if I'm like enough jalapeno margaritas in, I'll go for a stoner, which is the flour tortilla on the outside. Then it's got some, I think.
The hard shell?
It's a flour, the soft shell on the outside. Okay. And then in between that, I believe, is guacamole, cheese, and sausage, the chorizo. And then that is wrapped around the hard shell, which has your contents.
It's like a gordita
crunch.
A cheese crunch or a gordita, steroids.
Yeah.
On the juice.
A fine level. Yeah. This is fine. This is like gourmet.
Right.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. The stoner.
That's what it's
called. Surprise.
Yeah. Shocker. Wonder what they think about
it. You
do
one of those or two of those?
I would only do one of those.
Okay.
You can't do more than that. It's like an indulgence.
Don't tease me like that.
It's like,
I can go two if I need
to. You could easily, no question. But for me, it's like a thin slice of cake that I eat with my hand off the cake tray. It's not all the time. It's just every now
and then. I love how you justify it by saying it was just a thin slice.
It was?
You cut a piece of cake, left it on the platter,
it was
off of the platter.
It was a sliver. But we clarified that part of the platter was public domain at that point. The cake had vacated
you
the premises.
You tried to clarify.
Yeah, I did clarify. This is where Kim's going to be like, he's never wrong. He never thinks he's wrong. I think the cake one was my most questionable act. The dip one, I feel like I've been completely exonerated and proven to be
correct. Fine. I would agree with that.
I was being encouraged by the cake maker herself, though. She's like, yes, what do you think of that frosting? Yeah.
What is she going to do, yell at you? Like, she just met you.
I've known I've known a woman or two in my day who would not have been afraid to yell at me or you or anybody that she thought was misbehaving where it relates to etiquette or just living.
Hey, you know, what are you going to do?
There you go. By the way, you know our guy Kevin Beard, the inventor of the Jort Report? He's had a couple very, very good ones today. So he tweeted us an hour ago. He said, star, check, watch, star. Star, check, phone, star. Star, looks around, whistling, star. Waits for invite to next poker party. Kevin Beard, could you said one listener?
I did.
You said one listener.
I can't believe that we would even you would even consider that.
He already said, ways to never be invited to poker. Milwaukee's best check, Jort's check, store-bought dip check, sunglasses and earbuds check. there'd be plenty of Taco Bell tequila, a cameo by Alex Shiner and Jorts in poker night. That's what he's saying. He's right about the tequila. Very right.
There was some tequila last night.
There was. Nope.
Not
no cameo.
Not as much as the Tito's.
Well, there's Tito's everywhere. Matt Wilhelm's a Tito's sponsor.
I am a Tito's guy.
He's a Tito's man.
Customer conversion.
There's a lot of Tito's being consumed last
night. Tito's gives me a free willy for customer conversion.
That and our good friend Doug Tomlin, who hooked us up with some bats.
Gibbs, do you think that we could just like strike our own deal with Barrio?
I think that would be frowned upon in your building, and we'd end up in meetings.
As long as we had meetings about the meetings.
If some magical envelope showed up in my mailbox, but yet we continue to talk about Barrio, that would not be a bad thing. If you're picking up what I'm putting
direct
down.
Direct message me, and my address might magically appear.
PM me.
Tweet at me.
I mean, I got the Coca-Cola marinated steak worth the extra dollar every time. Their portobello mushrooms, fantastic.
There is nothing better than happy hour prior to a Cavs game.
Nothing. And what I like to do, and this is a true story, I go prior, and then I beat the crowd out, and I post up, and I'm there after. It is like I consider Barrio like the bun to my Cavs experience. It's on the top, and it's on the bottom. Everything happens in between, happens at the queue. But outside the queue, it's Barrio.
See, I never get to do that because I'm covering the game.
Right.
And like playoff games, I'm there like 5 hours beforehand.
And my guy Jake.
We'll be there for
my
you.
Guy Jake at Barrio.
That doesn't make me
who's
feel
a manager,
that.
Allows me to text him ahead of time and jump in front of that crowd prior to a Cavs game. And be seated to start enjoying Barrio.
We walked in before the Spurs game, and the kid had talked to his girl beforehand. We walked in, and she's like, oh, you're John? Right this way. And there's like 100 people there, and everybody's like, who is this guy? Yeah, who is this guy? Here's a better. I think this is good. Here we go. Behind Enemy Line says, I'd cast Vince Vaughn as Nathan. I'll take that. Vince Vaughn, tall.
City.
Yep. I had the shirt on. Bradley Cooper as Matt.
I like it. Strong.
Dennis Leary as Gibbs.
Dennis Leary's a little raily to play Gibbs in a movie.
But this one actually makes me laugh a lot. And Stephen Wright as the kid. That's good. Very good. All right, we'll be back. Taking a break. We'll go into the mailbag. You got questions? Use the hashtag AskCBD. Zagura, Wilhelm, Gibbs, Cleveland Browns Daily.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. It seems like so far, I think we're pretty good on this movie right now. Vaughn, Cooper, Rogan. We're trying to figure out the kid. The kid's a tough one.
But here's the challenge. Finding the actors associated with us as characters, or you know what I mean? It's who's going to write this script and who's going to direct it is as key as who plays us as characters.
Don't you feel like it's got to be like a Judd Apatow?
Who?
Or the guy from Hangover? Todd Phillips?
Yes.
Yeah. That's what I think. I think this could be a great direct-to-video.
like any of the Miz's movies.
Right.
Wow.
We'll get the Miz to make a cameo. Great. He's participated in CBD. He can make a cameo in here. Scotty Buckeye. I don't know who would play Scotty Buckeye.
The ears bleeding scene.
Wow.
I just can't take any more Buckeye talk.
Who's playing the Silver Sledge? That's a big one, too.
Ah, it is a big one.
It's a big one. That's a huge casting. Gibbs, you can have a big hand in that casting.
I'm in.
That's an interesting one. Maybe like the guy who played McLovin.
Yes.
Yes. Put like a fro on him.
Yeah.
That would be good. Do we still have Stan?
No, Stan's gone.
Stan's gone?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
If Stan doesn't get on right away, there's hell to pay.
Was he mad?
No, I'm sure he's mad.
We just went to him, though.
It doesn't matter.
All right.
If you don't go to Stan right away, Stan
he's got a limited cell phone plan.
No, you're in, because by the way, thinks the show revolves around him.
Gibbs, do you ever go to the Lakewood Barrio?
I've been once.
All right, and you've been to there?
I just went.
So Nick says, anytime your crew is in the Lakewood Barrio, ask if Old Chubb, not going to ask the reason for that name, if Old Chubb is behind the bar. He said he'll take care of you.
Old Chubb.
Old Chubb.
All right.
O.C.
O.C.
He's writing it down. Old Chubb. You don't need to write down Old Chubb. You're not going to remember Old Chubb.
No.
Just think of Happy Gilmore.
Dude, I'll go Chubb in there. Peterson. I'll probably spend full price knowing that I could get stuff on discount.
Not the Free Willy way.
I know, but I just forget. My kids are eating tacos.
Yeah, like
drinks.
You're walking out the door and you're like, oh, that
I'm
guy's
like,
name is
oh,
Chubb.
By the
garbage.
Way, now that it's February 3rd, that means they just changed over the taco of the month.
Did they?
They do it every month.
What is the taco of the month?
I don't know. Last month it was like a beef short rib. It was really good. They had one that was like a Thai grouper that was outstanding. A Thai fish taco, that one was really good.
I'm over fish tacos. After living in San Diego for 6 years, I'm over fish tacos.
It was always like what, like mahi-mahi?
Yes.
Yeah.
Fried.
I'd rather have a shrimp taco.
People love it, though.
If I'm going to go seafood, I'm going shrimp taco.
Yeah. Give me the meat.
How come there aren't good – why hasn't somebody come – somebody out – Barrio, you're listening. Let me get a taco of the month that's a king crab taco. I like king crab. Why wouldn't I like it in a taco? Taco's just a vessel.
This is true.
Or a lobster taco?
Yes. I've had lobster tacos. They're excellent.
Yeah, why wouldn't it be good?
They're costly.
How about a
– Hey, it's like a lobster roll.
How about a prime rib king crab taco?
It's like, name it, the Zagura.
The Zagura. Yes. That would be something special. All right, this is the last chance to get in. 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. We're going to wrap it up right now on Cleveland Browns Daily here on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. It's the girl Wilhelm Gibbs. You're going to go to the phone lines here, and then we're going to get into the mailbag as we wrap things up here on this hump day where we set the record straight on chip dipping for the rest of time.
So you think.
And we know that this is America.
America!
America. Let's go to Jim in Akron. Jim, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Not too much, man.
Hey, first I want to give you props, Matt, for doing that cancer cruise every year.
Thank you very much.
It's a fine man.
I do the Relay for Life. This will be my 15th year, so, you know, it's a cause of near and dear. I lost my wife. We were married 9 months when she passed, and she got to walk in the survivor lap a month before she died. So it's a cause that really means a lot to me. But, on a lighter note, who's going to play old Methuselah in Brooklyn? Old man. You know, I don't know. I would say Abe Pagoda, but he just passed. I don't know what other,
That would have been a good one. Somebody nominated one of Jeff Dunham's ventriloquist dummies for the role. I don't know the whole.
You're Gollum?
Oh, my goodness. Smeagol.
Smeagol.
Precious. Oh, my precious. All right, back to the phones we go. Never a dull moment. Mark and Worcester, welcome.
Hey, hello. I think we ought to grab Bosa if he's there, and then we could always trade back up and get a quarterback like Cardell Jones. He's only won a national championship and still undefeated.
How many Buckeyes would you like to see the Browns draft this year if you could, of the guys that are coming out?
Well, for the first time ever, three. Bosa, Cardell, and I'd like to grab Elliott too.
Why not? Let's do it. I wonder, like, do you think now that, let's say, for example, now that the Rams are in LA, do you think, like, the callers all want people to get, you know, everybody from USC or UCLA Well, that's not fair. They're not as good. Ohio State just happens to be very good. Like, I wonder if it'll get to the point that Detroit radio stations will be, everybody will call up and be like, every Michigan player that comes out, like Jabril Habanero.
It has to happen on shows.
That's why there's no football team in Alabama, I'm convinced, because I think the radio host would be like, I don't want to hear about how many more people from Alabama we need to draft. It would be like a mutiny.
It would.
Gibbs, mailbag.
One day I'll figure out the bed, too.
What is this?
It's circus music, right?
If you're going to play something ridiculous, at least play like the mailbag from when Samuel L. Jackson was the mailman and would deliver it to Pee-wee in Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Wow. I totally forgot about that.
Samuel L. Jackson was the mailman.
I know.
Story. Look it up.
All right. Our friend Doug Pattison, who was angry earlier that we weren't talking football.
He's back now.
He's back now, and he has a question for us. Should we wait on a QB till 32 and grab somebody like Dak Prescott, who impressed me more than Wentz?
First of all, I think Jared Goff will impress you. Again, my philosophy is until you have a franchise quarterback, you don't have anything. That's why the Browns, that jersey list with all the quarterbacks is exactly why the Browns are still where they are today like they were in 1999. That's why. Because you don't have that franchise quarterback. So my goal would be to just get a franchise quarterback. And if I believe one of them is there, I don't risk not getting him by passing on him at two. I take him at two.
All right. From Roe through Cleveland, besides quarterback, what's the next top position on the of the offensive weapons to improve on? Were we really counting on Josh Gordon?
I would say wide receiver. But the hard part is this isn't the class as it had been in the last 2 years for wide receivers, so there's not four, you know, locks in this draft. I think it came up as a discussion, you know, last night, and you'll know more of the guys that are out there. And I'll just throw a Buckeye out there, but a Michael Thomas in the second round, early third, you know, if you can move up back into the second round at some point, if you love him. Because if you do get Gordon back, Gordon's going to be your stretch to the field deep guy. You're going to get another big, physical, AFC North type possession receiver who can run all the routes.
And I wonder, by the time we get to the draft, if that will still remain a need.
Yeah,
I could see Marvin Jones,
sure,
the Hugh Jackson connection, yeah, free agent, stays in the division, comes here, would immediately bolster our receiving core, and all of a sudden you could perhaps be starting Josh Gordon, Marvin Jones, you could have Travis Benjamin and Hartline, and all of a sudden, and Hawk, that's all of a sudden receivers a position of strength. That's five good receivers.
And Terrell Pryor, right?
And TP to see what he can develop into.
Final one today from Joe Z. In regards to the GM turnstile over the past several years, I'm curious how much, if any, attention has been given to the scouting department. Although the early picks in the past few drafts have not panned out, the Browns have made some great selections in later rounds and with supplemental picks.
Mateo?
I don't know.
Way to totally pass the buck on that one.
I was, to be perfectly honest, I was being corrected. I said it was Samuel Jackson was the mailman. Lawrence Fishburne is what our guy Bob says.
His daughter was hot.
So what are you saying, man?
I said that I think I was wrong.
Oh, my God. I'm going to go to the bar now. The world might be ending.
Gibbs, come on. I told you yesterday I wasn't going to be good at poker, and then I lived it.
No, you definitely lived it, dude.
How many hands do you think you played? Two buy-ins?
I don't know.
12?
Asking Wilhelm for advice next to
I wasn't asking him for advice. I was just like,
You know what it was, Gibbs? It was you're sitting at the table with someone who's very new to the game of blackjack, and how you're essentially, it's not you versus each other like you are in poker. It's you versus the dealer. So you can openly share cards, even though a lot of casinos don't like you to do that. That's kind of what Nathan was doing. There were times where Nathan really didn't know or care if I was actually in the pot or out.
I didn't care if you were
so
in
the pot. So I was technically still competition for him.
And at one point, Kurt's like, you know I've seen your cards every round. And he was like two people away from you.
Yeah, and Mikey just kept taking his cards off the table, like hiding them on his lap.
Yeah, I didn't care at all, man. Whatever.
Yeah.
I was just looking, to be honest, at that point, I was just looking like, let's go. Let me either get in here or let me get out of here.
Let me go get my butt kicked by Gibbs and Poole.
That's not what happened. I mean, that is not a factual accounting of what happened. What about the last game? Three in a row with the Kisa. I wish we had Donovan to do as Marv Albert.
Yowing.
It's terrible.
His was good.
This was great.
Yeah. I thought it was Marv Albert.
Stinks. You're not disrespecting the Jim Donovan impersonation.
I thought it was. I thought I was just talking to Marv Albert. And then I bit her. Neither here nor there.
Allegedly.
All right. That'll do it for us. Cleveland Browns Daily. Stay tuned for the Golden Boys. We've got to thank Steve Palazzolo, who believes in the proper way to dip a chip. We've got to thank Jim Donovan.
Who you didn't ask. Scared
didn't
cat.
Ask. I was scared. I was afraid. I'll ask him on a plane. Of course, the great Jason Gibbs. We've got to thank Scotty Buckeye for his contributions today. Everybody who tweeted us, thank you very much. It was a lot of fun. For Jason Gibbs and Matt Wilhelm, I'm Nathan Zagura saying thanks for listening to another edition of Cleveland Browns Daily
on ESPN 850 WKNO.
Mario could be Mario. Could be fueled by Mario.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and ESPN 850 WKNR.